Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to continue our study in the Scripture. We've been going through Ecclesiastes. We did 1 2-hour session so far, and we ended up in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Very famous, made famous in modern times by a song, and say modern times, we were talking about 50 years ago, "To Everything There Is a Season." And I believe that was the Byrds in the 60s for all of you that were around then to remember it. Turn, turn, turn. Anyway, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes in verse 1. "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." And when you're getting near 60 years living this life, you find that you're pretty much engaged in all of these things during the time of your life. And indeed, there is a time for everything under the heaven. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Chapter 3, verse 9, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" That's the question. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? "I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Not saying I really fully understand that statement there. "He has set the world in their heart." He continues here in verse 12, "I know that there is no good in them." Now, of course, what's he talking about? What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He says, "I know there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life." So the question is, what profit hath he that worketh wherein he laboreth? What profit do you have in all the labor that you do? And I often say, and I believe it's true from the Scripture, that even our labor is a gift from God. Men go out and they work, and they work hard, some of them, and some hardly work. And whatever they earn or whatever they produce by their labor, they think, "Well, I have gotten this. I've gotten this by myself." Some even would brag to say that, you know, "God never gave me anything," as if they created themselves and the labor that they have to labor in their life with, as if it somehow came out of them, and so they somehow came out of themselves, and that they're responsible for their very being. And how could that be? Where were they before they were born? And where were they before were conceived, that they could be responsible for their own life and the gift of their labor? They don't credit the Almighty, and they scorn him and say, God never did anything for me. And pridefully, they look at themselves and all the things that they did, of course, neglecting to realize the gift of labor that the Almighty has given them, and every one of us, the gift of labor. And as you go through the scripture, see, man has his ideas about laboring and what's hard labor and what's unreasonable and what kind of compensation a man should get. And so, because men won't obey the Almighty, then man has to come in and make rules, like 8-hour work days. If you work over that, you should get, you know, overtime. And of course, you should get unemployment if you stop working, or all these rules. But basically, what we found for all of us that have our eyes open and have lived in the new worldwide Roman Empire, and especially in America, which system is spreading over all the earth, we find that all of these things that man has done for the benefit of man with all these good intentions, at least that's how they sold them to us, we find that all these things have enslaved us, have made us slaves. And even it is a curse, because you can get to a point in man's system where there is no work, where you become idle simply because the system that you were working in has broken down. And that's where we're at today. The system is broken down, and people have forgotten how to work on their own and get out there and produce and use the gift of God that's in them. That is their labor. It's there. But they have to wait on masters, taskmasters. So they go and sign up in the system and look for a job so that they can have a taskmaster over them, because they don't know what to do by themselves. And so they become slaves for that whole system. But I see in the scripture something else. The Messiah, he told some stories about, you know, there was a meeting place. And they got those meeting places today. You can go like down to the Lowe's or the, what is the other one, the Home Depot. And you'll see men standing around at some of them. Some of them have a meeting place. And there are men standing around. And what they're looking for is someone doing that has a job to do. And they're there to buy materials and hoping they'll get hired. And remember, the master himself, Yeshua, Jesus, they call him in the West, he was telling a story about some men that were standing around at the place where you get hired, looking for a day's work. And they got hired, and some in the beginning of the day, and it wasn't enough, so he went back, and he got some more in the middle of the day, and some near the end of the day. And of course, when the day was done, the 12 hours were up. That's the point I'm getting to. Some of these guys started at the first hour, that would be 6 a.m., and some started about the third hour, and that would be about 9 a.m., you know, if we're going to use it in our time. And then some started at the ninth hour of the day, okay? That would be like 3 p.m. And then when the day was done, you know, it started getting dark about 5 or 6 p.m. or whatever it was, whatever the 12 hours was up. some of the guys complained because everyone got the same. Everyone got what they agreed upon. And they supposed they should get more. And he said, is your eye evil because I am good? There you go. Is your eye evil because I am good? But getting back to our story here, the labor we have, and you labor in the world and you have your rules, but I labor for the Almighty, and, you know, I work, you know, it's nothing for me. I get up in the morning and I start working right away, and I'll work, you know, throughout the day because my schedule allows that. And sometimes I'll work late into the night depending on the demands of the work. So I'm getting my 10 or 12 hours of work every day. And, of course, I get up and I get some exercise and I try to break up my day so I'm not sitting on my behind too long. But is there what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? That's the question. He says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So that's the thing. With your labor, do good in your life. And when you're not laboring, do good in your life. That's where the profit is. It's in doing good. And it's in working in his kingdom. Because what is good? You know, we discussed that. The Messiah said, "There is none good but God. Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." That's what he said. Now, of course, he was a good man. He was the only good man. But he was making the point that all good things come from the Almighty. And if we want to do good in our life, I know that there's no good in them, he says, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. If you want to do good in your life, there's only one way, and that's obedience to the Almighty. That's the prophet. That's the only prophet. And to store up treasures in heaven, where moth or rust doth not corrupt, and neither can thieves break in and steal. And you'll enjoy that treasure forever. Instead of working like the world, you know, after all these things, the Messiah said, do the Gentiles or the nations seek, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, getting the better car, the better house, and all of the things that you may or may not get. I often talk about the deal, you know, the Messiah offers you a deal, and that's the deal. You know, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. That is to do right, what's right in the sight of the Almighty. That's good. Put your labor into good. And he said, then all these things will be added to you. So you can look at the deal that way too. The deal is this. You can stay in the world and you can seek first the things of this world and the riches of this world and all the fame and fortune and everything that this world and this life has to offer. And you may or may not get those things. And you can see out there that all these people are working for these things, and many of them don't get them, and many of them do get them. And the ones that don't get them are slaves to those that have them, because they're trying to get them. And then the ones who do get them, almost likely, most of the time, will become slaves to those things. So they may or they may not get them, but they will certainly become enslaved to those things. So that's the deal. That's what they teach out there in the public school system, in the world, through all the media. You know, and they prepare you when you become you get in high school, they prepare you to go out and earn a living, to become a dutiful slave, and go out and find a good taskmaster and get a good job. So you can become a slave to all those things. But Yeshua, Jesus, he said, seek first my kingdom. Give my kingdom first place in your life. Store up your treasures in heaven and work for me. And I'll make sure you have everything you need. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's exactly what it's talking about. Now, I've had occasion to talk to some teenagers in high school and, you know, looking at graduation and having to worry about how they're going to do this. You know, are they going to go to college? What are they going to do with their life? Are they prepared? Will things work out for them? Will they find a good taskmaster and get a good job and have a good salary and be able to get married and have children and provide for them? That's a heavy burden to be laying on a young person. But see, Yeshua, Jesus, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, young people. He said, you seek first my kingdom, put my kingdom first, and what's right in my sight, my righteousness, to do good in your life, according to what I say is good, according to my law, my kingdom, make me your king, follow me. And you don't have to worry about all the things in the life. They'll take care of themselves. You know, the houses and the cars and the food and the clothing, they'll all take care of themselves. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't mean you don't have to work or labor. That's a gift from God. That's a gift from the Almighty for you to do that with your life. But he lifts the burden. He said it. He didn't say there was no burden. He didn't say there was no yoke. He said, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light compared to the world's burden. Now, I often talk about the law of the Almighty, the law of God, as it's given to us in the Scripture, his commandments and statutes and judgments that we can hold in our hand in one book. And you go to the corporate church today, you know, where the preachers preach, you get to go to heaven when you die. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. They just promise you, if you do whatever they say and follow the program, that you get to go to heaven when you die. Now, I never heard the Messiah say that. repent so you can go to heaven when you die. You know, that's not the gospel that he preached. It even sounds weird, doesn't it? But that's what they teach you. You get to go to heaven when you die. Repent so you can go to heaven when you die. No, that's not what he said. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here we go with my illustration. Hold out your hand. Come on. Now, how far away from you can you get your hand? Not very far. So if the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that means it's pretty darn close. As a matter of fact, the illustration of the hand means that it's within your reach. You can reach out and touch it and grab it and bring it in. And you can enter into it, because that's how you cross the border. But you enter into his kingdom, which is at hand. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole world. Then will the end come. Of course, you got the corporate preachers out there with the corporate missionaries preaching you get to go to heaven when you die. Like I said, they don't enter in. They don't suffer you to enter in because they don't go in themselves. And speaking of the young people, and I specifically a young woman, I was talking to her, and we were talking about these things. She was in her last year of high school, looking at graduation, and trying to figure out what she should do, go to this college, that college. You know what I told her? I said, where's the kingdom of heaven? And she said, that's where I get to go when I die. I'm dead serious. This is a real conversation that really took place. She says, I get to go to heaven when I die. The kingdom of God is where we go when we die. I said, no, it isn't. I said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything that you need, that you're worrying about, your career and your future, he says, will be added to you. Don't you remember reading that? And she goes, oh yeah, I remember that. Because she learned the Bible, but she didn't learn it quite right, did she? And I told her, I says, you know, here's what most likely, as a young woman, what God wants you to do. He wants you to find a godly young man and get married and have children and nurture them up in the admonition of the Almighty and teach them his kingdom and his commandment. That's what he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to go out there and get a career and be a man. He wants you to be a woman and have all the blessings that he meant for women to have, to be a mother and to work in his kingdom by nurturing your children up in the admonition of his kingdom and his law and his word. That's his will for you. Of course, now is treading on dangerous ground. But man, what happened to her? I don't know. I haven't talked to that young lady since then. But that's, you know, for your benefit and all the young people and the parents out there, I relay that story to you. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Yeah, I love that song. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I guess that pretty much means that we such as we are, we have the world set in our heart, and we'll never be able to figure out what he has done from beginning to end. So I'll take it at that. That's my feeble understanding of that verse. I think it goes much deeper than I'm even able to articulate with words. So there's no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So make sure you're doing good. And the best way to do good, because there is no good thing, all good things come from the Almighty. And if you want to do good in your life, you obey him and you keep his commandments and you seek his kingdom first. And that's the only reward. And that was the question. And he says also, and also in verse 13, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And there it is. That's what I was telling you. Your labor is a gift of God. And the eat and the drink that comes of your labor, that's also the gift of the Almighty. Every man should eat and drink. So that's why I take time. I'm sitting in this chair and I'm working hard, and I have to sit down to work a lot for my work, as I'm doing right now. And I have to jump up and go out and get on my bicycle and ride up and down the street a little bit. Take 20 minutes to enjoy it. To enjoy, you know, the physical exercise. To keep, you know, the arteries, you know, pumped up and elastic and going right, you know, because I want them to keep working. And that makes my life better. And if I can do it with my children and my grandchildren, wow, that's even more in good enjoyment, good, lawful fun that makes life just wonderful. And I enjoy the animals and, you know, all the critters and the pets. And I do enjoy the food. I don't over-enjoy it. I can't allow myself to become obese and overweight and in bad shape. But I can enjoy it. I have permission from the Almighty. And also, so we're supposed to do good in our life, and we're to eat and drink and enjoy the good. The good, and that's the key word, the good of all our labor. It is the gift of Yahuwah. It is the gift of the Almighty. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.